I want to talk about the idea of initiating energy flows. Nothing gets created without an energy flow being initiated. All ideas maybe I'm the type of person that judges a book by its cover, in which case I'm not going to spend much time reading the book. I'm just going to make judgments about the external impression or external presentation of the book, of people, of situations. Clearly, certain objects are going to be more interesting to me and to you, depending on our backgrounds and our habit patterns and what we found interesting and what we found threatening, what we found life-enhancing, and what we found dangerous. And those things, to some degree, are going to hold our attention more than others. In those cases where they're boring, don't hold our attention at all, we're going to be connected to them. We will initiate and maintain an energy flow for much shorter periods of time. We initiate energy flows to protect ourselves or push away those things that we don't want, that may be threats. I think that there are distorted views about what we want in a lot of cases. We're told what we want rather than accepting, oh, this is what I want, whether it's true or not. We could say that there are a range of fundamental needs and desires for a human being, and they're pretty straightforward. If we could just say, what is absolutely essential to me as a human being, to my happiness, to my health, to my fulfillment, and then those nine items in the truth of existence. How do we initiate energy flows? And this question really occurred to me. We knew the groom-to-be. Marianne had exchanged emails with the bride-to-be, but she had never spoken to her. So there we were, knowing one person out of a several hundred person wedding, and brought this awareness of initiating energy flows. The groom-to-be literally is the most likable person I have ever met in my life. Met him in Bogota, Colombia just a few weeks ago, and I was amazed at how likable he was. What a fantastic, fantastic characteristic. So he was very social, clearly, had a lot ability, and I drew a comparison between myself and him. And then I noticed how I approached things. And so this is what happened. When we were in Miami International Airport on our way to Monterrey, Mexico, I noticed in the tram a couple of guys speaking. One was a tall guy and one was a short guy. And then we recognized they were on the plane that we were going to. And so then we saw them in the airport in Monterrey. So up to this point, we just saw them three different times. The initiation of energy flows, we become more causative, we become more mindful, and more capable. So here's what I did. I approached this guy sitting down, which says, right, first thing I did is I reduced the physical distance between me and him. I made eye contact with this guy, which is a form of energy connection, not that approached me in the lobby of a hotel in Monterrey, California. Monterrey, Mexico. And I wanted to have him to have this context. Caterpillar Corporation. I asked him if he was, in fact, with Caterpillar and was he there in Monterey for Reese's wedding. He said, yep, I am with Caterpillar. I am in Argentina. This meant we all added information and we created a greater understanding of one another, who we were, what we were doing in Monterey, etc., and the fact that we had the commonality of Reese's wedding, as well as the fact that Marianne in the past has done consulting for Caterpillar. So let me just back up. I mentioned it already, but let me do it again. That this man, Denny, interested me because of what he said about creating a Wi-Fi location with his phone and a device. That concept interested me, and I wanted to move my energy toward a thing that interested me. And if we recognize what interests us, then when we start to move in that direction, it's like, oh, I understand what I'm doing. There's no mystery here. Now, this hearing this kind of a conversation in the tram in the Miami International Airport is depending what they were talking about. If they were talking about something else that was not on my, quotes, list of things that are cool or interesting, end quotes, I may not have heard that conversation at all. But I am attuned to computers, electronic stuff, high tech, that sort of thing. We have antennae that are out depending on our interest. If he were talking about cooking, it is likely that Marianne might have heard that much more than I would have heard that, because that's an area of interest for her relative to me. It was interesting as well that night when we were leaving a party. This was a Friday, the day before the party. We were leaving, we're walking down a set of stairs, and here comes a woman out of a taxi. We're about to get into this taxi. She gets out of this taxi, beautiful young woman, wearing a sheer clothing, no bra. And even though it's warm, her nipples were distended. I'm a man. I noticed that right away. And so what caught my interest? First of all, beautiful face, beautiful figure, and her sheer clothing all caught my interest. However, even if we weren't leaving, I doubt if I was going to initiate an energy flow to this girl. I would have not done that. I suppose if I were a 20-year-old, 25-year-old, 30-year-old single man, maybe I would have had a different perspective on that. But I certainly wasn't about to initiate a conversation with that. So, why? Why wouldn't I initiate information or initiate an energy flow to one thing, whereas I will do it to another thing? I think that's a really good question. One of the answers might be because in the case of electronics, I have an interest. I also have quite an inventory of information already. That is, I can probably process effectively without getting knocked out of balance any kind of information that would have come back to me in the response when I mentioned to a person, excuse me, I overheard you talking about a Wi-Fi producing device that you hook to your smartphone. It's not likely a person is going to be offended by that or take it as a threat, the fact that I initiated that conversation. However, for this beautiful girl under those circumstances, it would have been much easier for her to see this initiation of energy flow as a scary thing, a threatening thing, insulting thing, or perhaps a charming thing, perhaps a flattering thing. However, you know, it would have been difficult for me to say, ooh, beautiful dress. And she may have thought, oh, this man likes my dress. However, I think that she might have noticed that there's more to that comment than just that simple statement. From a personality standpoint, and then Marianne deals with personalities around the world when she deals with her consulting practice that she used to be involved in, that says there are basically four personalities, four dominant personalities. We each have all four characteristics, just a question of to what degree. I fall into the category called a C, which is conscientious, versus D, which is dominant, I, which is influential, and S, which is labeled steady. I tend to be a conscientious steady, which means I love information. I love information, and I like to make situations better. I want to calm, heal, cure, fix things. Dominant person is really action-oriented, really needs to get stuff done, even if pushing through walls, whereas the I person is much more social, much more influential, much more talkative, and friendly. So what I was describing before is Reese falls into that category of influential. And that's really a very likable, charming area for people in a lot of cases. So, for me, I need a lot of information in order to feel comfortable to initiate an energy flow. And I like to initiate energy flows for the purpose of getting more information. So I need a lot of information in order to initiate an energy flow, and the purpose behind my initiation is to ask questions to get more information, whereas a D personality, a dominant personality, is going to initiate an energy flow to get things done. They tend not to ask very many questions. They are more about telling people what to do and how to do it. So it's interesting if you can find yourself, this is called the DISC personality test. You can find a place to buy it online. Really helpful to know how we process information, and it's interesting to know and valuable to know how we want to receive information. So if we like to receive information in a certain way, process it in a certain way, give it in a certain way, and then we know how other people do the same thing, it's almost as if we're speaking the same information, energy flow language. And it makes things go so much better in families and business relationships as well. A lot of my action, a lot of my energy flow is oriented toward information. Getting it, giving it. It's all about the information for me. Some of the people at the wedding, just to continue this idea, were from Texas. Texas, Houston, Texas specifically, is big oil country. That's where a lot of people involved in the oil industry are. And I think that initiating an energy flow is kind of like drilling for oil. You know, you've heard about that idea that people go out and drill for oil. So there are a couple of ideas here. Besides making eye contact, besides extending the hand, besides using our voice in order to initiate an energy flow, we could be making a comment, that is, just delivering specific information to a person that doesn't really require anything on that person's part other than to receive it. The second thing is we could be asking a question, in which a person ideally would respond with an answer. Well, the third thing that we could be doing is expressing a need. We could be expressing a need that we hope that other person is going to respond to by helping us fulfill that need. So we could be making a comment, asking a question, or expressing a need. Based upon the feedback that we receive, the response that we receive to whichever of those items that we just did, then we're going to know whether to continue or not. It's kind of like a drilling. If we come up dry, we're not going to drill in the same spot again. If we get a slight indication that we could hit oil, then we're going to continue drilling in the same spot a little longer. I could also use the metaphor of tennis. It's kind of like a game of tennis that we make a decision to start a game unilaterally. Hey, I want to serve and I want to see if this person returns my serve. And so we do it in one form or another by the eye contact, by speaking to the person, by shaking hands, by making a comment, asking a question, or expressing a need. And so now, all of a sudden, depending on what that person does, if they respond to us, then we know the game is on. We serve, they return to serve, we return to serve, we're volleying now with this exchange of information, energy going back and forth, and that's fun. However, if that energy is not returned, if we make a comment, and later on in that evening, I went over to Denny again, this is during the wedding, in reception, I went over to Denny and said, I was told by somebody that you had served in Vietnam in the Marines, and I had a younger brother there. When were you there? And he told me, that brought the conversation to a close. So he was not interested in continuing the game. He wasn't interested in going back and forth, exchanging information. He had already indicated that he was unhappy. The band was too loud and he didn't like it and he felt out of place. And he didn't say that, but he certainly demonstrated that. So he was looking to get out of there as soon as he could. And he was a person that left very early into the wedding reception. So he didn't feel like he was in a position to be able to initiate energy flows that would keep him in that location. He must have felt like somebody drilling for oil, that nope, ain't no oil in this place. So he went back to the hotel. I had a friend years ago, about 20 years ago, named Eric Beanstock, and we met at a business meeting, and we were talking. Something I said or did interested him. I think it had something to do with the game of golf. And so that interested him. He initiated contact, and we started talking. Over the course of the weekend, I asked him about how he made friends, because he clearly was very social. And he described what he does. What he does is find somebody who is interesting, whatever shows up as being interesting on his radar screen, and then he initiates contact with them. Then after that, he'll make three or four more efforts of initiating energy to him, sending him a paper clipping or an email or making a phone call to him or so on. And if they were to reciprocate by, responding positively to that or doing something similar, reciprocating with information, then he knows that a relationship can develop for a period of time. If he comes up dry after three or four attempts at initiating energy flows to this object of his attention, then he stops and goes on to the next thing. Doesn't make it about himself. It just is. There's no reciprocation, no problem. Next, and he looks around for the next person or thing that will interest him. Years ago, I was in sales, and I did sales and sales management, and was involved in sales training. So I recognized that a salesperson is really charged with the role of initiating energy flows to prospects for that product or service that the salesperson sells, or to initiate energy flows to customers on a regular basis in an effort to grow a more lasting, more stable, more mutually satisfactory relationship. When you really think of it in terms of male-female behaviors, we establish relationships with the opposite gender by doing the same thing. Some cases we initiate it on our own. Sometimes parents will say, well, why don't you like him, or why don't you like her, or why don't you invite them over, and why don't you go to that party with so-and-so, and so on. And it's really designed to help a person initiate energy flow. Bottom line, not only when we're talking about lamps and people and strangers, all relationships seem to require us to initiate an energy flow toward what we desire, toward what we want to experience, to what we want to have, to what is interesting to us, or on a less active, a less causative place, to wait and then reciprocate or respond to somebody else's energy flow coming toward us if somebody finds us interesting. That's kind of like sitting at a park bench waiting for our good to show up as compared to initiating an energy flow. I suppose it's like a farmer sitting there waiting for his field to be planted magically or by somebody else, or natural forces as compared to taking responsibility to initiate that energy flow by planting that seed. So let's take the case of a desire that we have, anything that we want. But before we do that, let's say that the desire is for something. And in other words, something we want to bond with, something that we want to be closer to, that is, reduce the space and time or distance between us and it. So we want to occupy the same space. We'll call that bonding. As compared to what a lot of people think is rejecting is the same thing. I have a desire to reject something. That's less. That pushing stuff away, getting rid of something, is not what I want to talk about in this example. Preventing something, stopping something, fighting something, getting rid of something, running away from something, is a lower vibrational form than attracting what we want into our experience. That says the higher the vibration that we express, that we transmit, that we initiate, that we broadcast toward the object that we desire, the object of our attention, the more magnetic we become. We pull it toward us. And that act of transmitting high vibration thoughts and feelings is exactly like sowing seeds. We are planting seeds that are going to produce a harvest. We will reap a harvest that is in harmony with the seeds that we were sowing. So you can recognize if we fight stuff and battle stuff and resist stuff and resent stuff and hate stuff and try to stop stuff as a seed planting set of activities, that harvest is going to be problematic. Better we should be sowing seeds with the energy of that we are going to be pleased with what comes back as a natural reaction to those efforts. As we initiate that kind of energy, it's going to come back to us in a similar form. That's a good thing. I like the idea of father energy and mother energy. I've been a fan of Father God and Mother God as a way to describe the energy that has created all of us, because it occurs to me God the Father period was incomplete, since I look around the planet and I notice mothers and sisters and wives and daughters and granddaughters are female. And if there's only father energy, where did all this female energy come from? And so it's clear to me that there was half the gender was left out of modern thinking, if you will, which really is based upon old-fashioned, limited, male-dominated thinking. In Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth, Jesus is talking about the reality of these two energies, this father energy and this mother energy, that are necessary to work together, separately but together, cooperatively but separately, in order to create what we want. Different roles, different perspectives, different behaviors, if you will, but nonetheless absolutely essential in order to be human beings, to be living beings. You have to have these two energies. I really like that. In the book, male energy, father energy, is referred to a lot of different ways, and so is the mother energy. One of the ways that father energy is looked upon or described as will, capital W-I-L-L, will. And mother energy, besides being labeled in a lot of different ways, is labeled in the same area as purpose. So we've got will and purpose. And when you start to come to understand a little bit more about will. It does take will in order to initiate an energy flow. Even if you're a female, you have will. Because if you remember correctly, you had a male father. And I had a female mother and a male father. So we have will and we have purpose operating within us. And recognizing these two characteristics, these two attributes, it's kind of interesting. But if you can just imagine that somebody's this is my desire, and we bump into a little teeny bit of resistance, and we give up, we could say, that's a lack of will. That they really we weren't really energized in terms of this father energy. And if we really wanted something, but then we didn't care for it, nurture it, organize it, take care of it, and we could say, we may have lacked purpose, which is another way of saying, I'm not really accessing this mother energy. That, to me, is really interesting. To be able to look at these two characteristics in our lives, and I've heard people go, I can't get anything done, I can't get anything done. Today, I would be inclined to say to myself, maybe we ought to be dealing with the issue of will. And somebody else says, I don't know what to do, I don't know what my purpose is, I don't know what my purpose is. It's like, maybe we should be dealing with the idea of purpose to clarify that, to see if this person can discover what is appropriate for themselves. I was trying to define unhappiness, and the thought occurred to me, unhappiness could be to have a desire, but then finding that we either don't have the will sufficient to fulfill it, or we don't have the purpose sufficient to fulfill it. If we didn't have a will that's powerful enough to fulfill a desire, we're now being separated from that desire. We're not able to achieve the results that we want. Or if we're not purposeful enough, we go, the perceived discrepancy between that desire and where we happen to be standing, right? Like that's what I want. That's what I want. It's like, okay, cool. Now look at your capacity to fulfill that desire. What do you perceive that to be? Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. Ooh, you could imagine. Just, you hear that? The way I just exaggerated a little bit? There's a desire. There's a goal. And now I perceive my capacity to be insufficient. And you could almost hear turning somebody into a smaller person with that thought process, with that belief, I don't have the capacity to do it. And we become smaller and smaller. And now, instead of it being a level playing field or even an easy process to get from where we are to where we want to go, or to reduce the distance between us and our desire, we just increase the distance by reducing our own capability through the way we think. It's not accurate. It's not accurate. But if we've got a history of experiences in which we were told or shown or taught or even have spoken to ourselves about our insufficiency, our not enoughness, now all of a sudden, whenever we see a desire, we shrink ourselves and it becomes very difficult to achieve it. Got a desire. Whoops, let me shrink myself. Got a desire. Ooh, let me shrink myself. It's like, whoa, I didn't even realize I had that. Wow, that's not initiating an energy flow. That's actually decreasing my own capabilities. What I want to do is focus on the desire, not think about me, my capabilities. I want to initiate a flow to that desire, to that object of my attention, until I feel really good about it, feel really good about it. And what happens for a lot of people, and myself included at times, is you put your eye on the object of attention, and then initially we go, it's so far, it's so high, it's so difficult, it's so expensive, it's so long, it's so whatever. Wait a minute, that's just part of the process. That's just part of the process. Continue to look. Keep your attention on that object. And it's like, oh yeah. It's kind of like looking at the lamp. Keep looking. You're looking for attention, respect, and appreciation. You're looking for your desire to go up. You're looking for evidence that the distance between you and it can be decreased. And if it doesn't happen instantaneously, it doesn't happen instantaneously. And if it's worthwhile, it is not going to happen instantaneously. Like, I want to learn a new language. I'm going to snap my fingers and, nope, it didn't work yet. It didn't work. I haven't yet achieved my desire. No kidding. If it's worthwhile, it takes an energy flow, initiate an energy flow repeatedly toward the object of your desire, and that relationship grows stronger and stronger until we occupy the same space as it. Real straightforward. And when we look at ourselves and can make a judgment of relative to will and purpose, and if we feel as we're lacking in will, well, what is the source of will? Divine consciousness is the source of will. Divine consciousness is the source of purpose. We can call it forth. How do you do that? By reaching out in thought and feeling, asking for it. Dear God, help me to increase my awareness and my access to divine will, so that I'm going in the direction that is most meaningful to the creation of the life that I want. Hello. Straightforward. Real straightforward. Help me to know the purpose that will produce the highest joy on every level for me. That's really a very direct way of doing it. And we can do this. We can do the same thing when we look and put our attention on people. We can make a determination beforehand how we want to connect to people. If we are in fear, then we're going to want to control them, or disadvantage them, or dismantle them, or disempower them. But that's an indication not of them, but of our own insecurities, our own misbeliefs, and our lack of capacity. Our capacity is basically unlimited because we have access to divine consciousness. We're just a point of consciousness in this tremendous flow, this tremendous energy flow that has already been initiated. You know why I know? Because you exist and I exist. We have already been initiated, and we're a point of consciousness in it. And what does that say? It says that we have the ability to direct this energy flow. The flow wants to occur. Energy wants to flow. A lot of people go, uh-oh, and try to stop an energy flow. And you can see that with all the illnesses that show up symptomatic to that process of stopping energy flow. But if we turn around and say, nah, you know what? I want to direct my energy in order to create desirable effects, desirable not only for me, my family, my friends, but everybody on the planet. Everybody on the planet, there's plenty of divinity to go around. It's not like, ooh, there's a scarcity of this, there's a scarcity of good, there's a scarcity of compassion, there's a scarcity of kindness. Hello. We know that's not true. That's not true. This stuff is unlimited. It's unlimited. And we have the ability, magically, creatively, just to choose that flow. So whenever we initiate an energy flow to any object, person, thing, concept, we're in total command of it. And that's a fantastic power. And when we recognize that that flow that we're initiating is the seed that's going to produce a harvest, it's like, whoa, I think I better pay attention then. I think that as I develop skill and raise the vibration of my offerings of the seeds I'm planting, then it's going to produce the life that I seek. Go, now I know how to cause the life that I seek by the energy flow that I choose to initiate. Everything that I'm experiencing, I have initiated in the form of an energy flow. And if I want to change what I'm experiencing, then I just change the energy flows that I initiate between me, myself, because a lot of the energy that we send to ourselves is problematic in that it is self-disapproving, self-punitive. And we can overcome those habits. We've been taught that stuff. It doesn't work. Sitting in the airport the other day, in Miami actually, there was a television set on Fox News. And Fox News was providing an object of attention, right? Television is a delivery system of objects of attention. So Fox News was talking about the problems with Obama. Hello, that's not new news, right? And they were presenting this And I never saw such a happy, I couldn't hear it, but I never saw such a happy commentator, just thought that was the coolest thing, without really recognizing, I suppose, that when we flow negative energy to somebody who's in charge of our country, like a president, that, number one, we're seeking to disempower that person and people who believe in him, people who support him, people who want him to succeed, and we're planting negative seeds at the same time that are going to come back and haunt us. Now, why would we do that? Lack of awareness, ignorance. That's why we would do it. Even if this person is the wrong color, which I'm sure has a lot to do with the animosity toward President Obama. He happens to be black. Actually, half black, right? He's half black, half white. We forget the half white if we're very white-oriented. But here's news presenting an object of attention seeking to induce us to dislike somebody. So this object of attention and the way they present it is designed for viewers to send anger, fear, dislike, distrust, disapproval toward President Obama. It's literally like a guy walking around the neighborhood saying to the farmers, I encourage you to plant weeds. I encourage you to plant weeds. And the farmer's going, okay, I'll do that. It's really, really bad news. Because as we feed energy into these thought forms, those thought forms become more and more powerful, more and more real. Not just the Fox News, but if you turn around and look at the television, you know, with serial killers and rapists and terrible things and on, regular cop shows on television. Sometimes I watch this, or don't actually watch most of that, but when you look at that stuff, the previews, commercials trying to advertise it, I often wonder what it would be like for an alien to come here, look at television, and then go report back to people on that planet what human beings are like. Like, no, actually, we're not really like our television. The television is marketing of low vibration. Some people market that low vibration so the rest of us fall prey to it, but we're not really like that, by and large. Human beings are good, by and large. Given the choice of offering high vibration or low vibration, we're going to tend to offer high vibration. Despite all the training, all the marketing, all the promotion of low vibration. It is amazing to me what the media does. They are really... if there were a way to convey that the media is basically like an electronic or spiritual energetic Typhoid Mary, sending out negative consciousness forms that infect other people, we would have a real clear representation of what is happening to us. When it really comes down to it, with initiating energy flows, we're going to want to creatively and constructively take charge of that. We're going to want to grow to the point where we recognize externalities, that is, people, things, situations, the environment, do not dictate to us what we offer. We are responsible. We have the right. We have the power. We have the choice to offer the vibrations that we want. So if we see something that could be construed to be negative, it doesn't require us to reciprocate with negativity. It's not to our advantage to do it that way. We're told to do it that way, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but Christ came to say, no you don't, you don't have to respond like that, that's not the way to do it, there were another choice. We don't have to give our power away to the objects of our attention. I had to do it because of what he said, what he did. No, no, we don't. No, we don't. That's not true at all. Not true at all. We can blame other people. They rubbed me the wrong way. They annoyed me. They pushed my buttons. That's not accurate. That's not accurate. There's another way to see that that is truer, and it goes more like this. I use that person's behavior to activate my old memories of threat, and then I responded to my old memories of threat. So here we are, 2011, when you're 50, 60 years old, or 40 years old, or 30 years old, or whatever years old, and now we react like five-year-olds to some environmental signal. It's like, wait, you're not 5 years old. Why did you act like you're 5 years old? Oh, I used information from that memory to frame this, saw it as a threat, and acted like a five-year-old. That's exactly what we do. That's exactly what we do, because we're not aware of what we're doing. That's the reason we're trying to heal memories. So we're acting in 2011 based upon relevant, higher vibration, truer information as compared to the stuff that we accumulated when we were 5 years old and carried around with us still in form of a cellular memory. Say, oh, this is true, this is true. No, it's not true. No, it's not true. Stuff that we created or picked up along the way, somebody gave us when we were 5 years old, tremendous changes in awareness have occurred over time in us and other people. You know, at one point, the world was flat. Hello, it's flat. No, you'll fall off the edge. We know that's not true. And just like, eggs are good for you. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. I think we're at the yes, they are phase. That's all marketing. It's all marketing. We get to choose. And as we grow our awareness, we recognize that the conditions of our lives are a symptom of our awareness. Our awareness is our overall capability. Our consciousness is our overall capability of processing information, of knowing truth from falsehood, truth from illusion. We go, oh, let me choose the energy I adopt as true. Let me initiate energy flows of a high vibration and watch the conditions in my life change. That's really what this is all about. We don't have to be reacting to old stuff like it's everything is a saber-toothed tiger. When we were children, there were a lot more saber-toothed tigers. You know, the dark, the closet, dark under the bed, all kinds of things, depending on our childhoods. Now we could go, wait a minute. I'm not at effect. I'm actually at cause by the energy flows that I initiate are causative. That's what I need to devote my attention to and become more aware, more conscious of, more mindful of, more skillful at. When we really think of that, like, energy flows that we initiate is essentially what the alchemists back in the Middle Ages in Europe were trying to find. How do you take something that's not valuable and turn it into something that's very valuable? By initiating energy flows. By the vibration of the thoughts and the feelings that we transmit. That's how you create really, really valuable things. Not monsters, not illness, not poverty, not hatred, but all the good that you want, you do it by choosing high vibration thoughts and feelings. If more of us understood that our thinking, our feeling, and our acting are actually just symptoms, they're symptoms of our consciousness or our awareness, then we were like, whoa, you know what? I got to really, really attend to my consciousness. I have to pay attention to that. Because then we would really be dealing with the creative root, these initiated energy flows, in order to create the lives that we want. We would be offering high vibration, positive energy to everything that we put our attention on, starting with ourselves and then the closest people and things to us, and then we would branch out to include all races, all people, all living things, all created things. We create the lives that we have by initiating energy flows. We create the lives that we want by initiating more mindfully energy flows. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of letter 8 from Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we should be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. And so it is. Thank you. Amen.